Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell right here for the first 2.5 hours. Raheel joins us at 9. And right as we start the show, somebody took my headphones, okay? Somebody took my headphones. And it was Dell. You stole his headphones. You held them up. He didn't have his headphones and you had them.
I didn't take them.
You took them here. In there so that he would be looking for them right when the show started.
I just wouldn't have told him, let him wander around for 30 minutes.
You wanted to see whether or not he was going to look for them before the show started.
No, that's not on me.
Okay, that's on you. Did he not steal your headphones?
Yeah, he clearly did.
Okay.
Although these are not the headphones I had before, so he's got them somewhere.
Who are you, the Tallahassee police? I'm not DeAndre Francois. Don't blame me for everything.
What happened? Lance is looking behind the couch now. What happened to the big bear in here? That's what I want to know.
Oh, it gave off a bad impression to people who were giving tours to.
Well, because it did kind of lay with its legs open a lot on the couch, like it was just lounging and doing ugly stuff to itself.
Like it had participated in a casting couch, like that couch implies.
Right, right. Although I enjoyed the bear. It had Josh Innes' face on it for a while, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure why that was.
I don't know what the hell happened there, but anyway, that's unfortunate. You know what else is unfortunate right now is Jake Mariznick.
We're really leading off with him when Lance McCullers was dealing like
he
that.
He was dealing,
dude. Lance McCullers was that's the best I've seen Lance McCullers pitch until, I don't know, I'd have to go back to whatever start it would be last year before the All-Star game.
No, he looked.
He was unbelievable. One hit, 11 strikeouts, throwing strikes like a mother, too. I mean, you know, by Lance's standards, pretty good. About 70% strikes. I thought he was fantastic. Mariznick is not fantastic.
Mariznick is not really, I don't think, fantastic, if you want to know the truth.
He and Derek Fisher are on a race to see who can get option quickest.
He's 0 for his last 13 with 10 strikeouts. 0 for his last 13. In the last four games he's played in, 0 for 13 with 10 strikeouts. That's unfortunate.
Some of these deals with the devil that were made in the previous year are expiring.
Why did Fred Fowler do this to my mic?
Fred sits here.
I don't know why, but my mic is going limp all the time here, so we got to stop that. Anyway, didn't Fred and AJ pull you in yesterday?
Yeah, they thought we broke a microphone.
We broke a microphone.
We noticed
it was broken when we got here in the morning. And
I told him no one even uses that mic on our side.
No.
What about Dell? Nope. There.
Dell probably walked in.
Raheel here and Raheel here. Literally nobody uses
that microphone. When Dell stole your headphones, he probably broke that.
Probably. The Texans cheerleaders probably sat there.
So, little lineup change. Did you like that?
It's fine. I like, you know what I like? I like Yuli wherever Yuli needs to be when he's a little hot.
Well, I said this. I mean, Yuli is a professional hitter. It's what Yuli does.
Bregman and Reddick, we've seen some fluidity in the top part of the roster. That's one thing AJ's done that I've liked a lot. I think making sure you get Yuli in the right spot is pretty key when he's hot. Because when Yuli's hot, Yuli stays hot for a little while. That dude is a professional hitter. I thought he was nothing but a bait signing.
Right. To get his brother.
That's all I thought.
And quite frankly, they know what they're doing over there.
Yeah, this just in.
Yeah, Jeff Luno knows what he's doing.
He can hit a little bit. But
I thought that's $50 million you're spending just to get his brother. That seems like a lot.
That's what I thought. And then you didn't get him. I think Toronto got him. But But obviously that wasn't – they said it wasn't the case, and maybe it wasn't the case because it doesn't really matter anyway. He's playing well. But moving Mariznick around – not Mariznick, but Redick around, moving Bregman around, moving those guys around, that doesn't bother me one single bit. And I don't think it – you know, he has been fairly fluid with his lineup over the years. Where he takes some – not chances. He just says, hey, let's see how this goes.
You know Springer, Altuve, Correa are all going to be at the top.
1-3-4
Yuli was in the 8-hole a lot last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but then he found out, wow, that's this dude can rake. So Yuli in the cleanup spot is nice. Bregman, listen, this is like it's almost identical to 2015.
It really is.
It's the top of the order and then everybody else. And it's really, really bad at the bottom. And it's getting worse. I love the McCann, big, huge, huge home run last night. And you know what? He'll come up with a big hit for you. And maybe that's something that sparks this offense. Gerrit Cole going tonight, which is nice. And Gerrit Cole looking to be the first pitcher to get double-digit strikeouts in his first four starts for a team, something to that effect, which is really, really totally sweet. But he has looked on him and just get some runs. Just get a couple runs for Gerrit Cole tonight. That's all you got to do.
Is that all you want?
That's all. Just please do that. Gattis with a nice night last night. That was you know, you're facing Ariel Miranda. You had to get that job done. Yeah, like I said before, James Paxton is like the toughest pitcher. He's Sandy Koufax. You can't possibly hit him. So that was a game that you were going to lose. But these are games that you need to win, especially with Gerrit Cole going tonight. But nice job by AJ. You know, so switch it up a little bit. You make guys a little bit uncomfortable or whatever, and they came through with a big night, 4-1 Astros win.
Still some of the same problem. Now, well, how do you think Giles pitched? That's a trick question.
Because Davinsky got the same.
Giles doesn't pitch anymore.
No, well, Giles doesn't. Why would you wish
Giles
that?
Giles doesn't play baseball anymore.
Why would you wish that on anybody?
I don't wish. I just. Well, why is he in a roster spot?
I bring up Mariznick, and you bring up Giles.
Well, I'm bringing up the good news. You're bringing up bad news.
No, you
I'm
went
bringing
to,
up good news.
How did Giles pitch? Well, I don't know. I didn't watch his bullpen.
Yeah.
I didn't see the bullpen.
Guess what?
So I'm hoping.
No, he's our starter. He's our closer. We're still going with Ken Giles. He's still the closer. Can I hear all the Astros still say, no, he's still the closer? Why is Jake Kaplan or Brian McTaggart like, no, hey, this is still the closer. No, he's not. What are you guys trying to fool? He's not the closer.
I remember I got in trouble from when Kubiak came and Steve McKinney was not starting. And I kept asking, hey, so who's your son? And I kept asking him. And he kept saying, well, mate, can we get both? They're both starters. Well, no, there's only one center. Who's the starter? And finally, Kubiak told McKinney, would you get him off me? Could you tell him to stop asking me?
Who did he tell that to?
McKinney. He said, could you tell him to just get off my ass? Yeah. He told McKinney, goes, hey, dude, stop asking him about that, will you? there's not two starters at center. There's only one center. And I need to know who your closer is because it's not Giles, okay? Can you please tell us? I don't even care. If it's by committee, I don't care. I'm not sure, but you know, Peacock, he gave a couple of shots to. That's it. That's over.
Yeah.
Now Davinsky. Nice.
And Peacock's like, on to the next one.
Nice. Hey, go sit next to Giles. Yeah. You sit over there.
Okay.
Okay. And when we get,
we're not doing this two games in a row crap anymore.
No. We'll just go. You know what? I don't know who he can trust in that bullpen. I don't care.
Your dress rehearsal, by the way, lasts until the trade deadline. So you guys have until trade deadline to figure this thing out.
Well. Honestly,
one of y'all is going to be moving to San Diego.
That's one thing that they're going to have to.
Where's Brad Hand right now?
He's in San Diego still, isn't he? Or did he move? No, he's in San Diego, isn't he?
He's one of them. They'll probably target him.
Yeah. Well, that'd be nice. The good news last night, Shohei Ohtani got a blister, and he got his ass handed to him. So Astros pick up a game on the Angels.
I felt bad that he had to leave the game in a second with a bad blister.
Why? I felt awesome
about
it.
That was sad. I was hoping that he would stay super healthy the whole season.
I was hoping it was something worse than a blister, but oh well.
You're not supposed to say that out loud.
Well, maybe he won't be able to pitch next Tuesday when the Astros are playing him. That would be, although he didn't look all that good. He didn't have his location last night, but I just fear that Bugs Bunny curveball that he's going to be throwing up there. And And so that was the good news, is that Shohei Ohtani is not the greatest player ever to live. And so the Astros got a little bit of a break. I am standings watching already. What's the date today? April 18th?
You've been standings watching.
I know. I just can't stand the fact that the Astros are not in first place. What was it, 154 days last year they were in first place?
This is not going the same as last year up to this point.
No, it's not the same.
I mean, although, there's some similarities.
Although the pitching looks better.
Yeah, I'm not. Honestly, this is why I have a hard time getting too worked up, because the starting pitching looks fantastic.
That's awesome.
In any given day, you know Lance McCullers can do this. Lance McCullers could take a no-hitter into the seventh inning any day, and then they'd be like, well, he's 130 pitches. We got to pull him out. Seventh inning. But he's no-hitter. He's 130 pitches. Yeah, right. He's Lance McCullers. It's not going to be super efficient with the pitches. But his stuff can be so dominant, and yesterday was a great example of it. Cole has been dominant. Keuchel had a good outing this last time. You got how many straight games is this for starting pitch? Is this a four? Who am I missing? Oh, no, Charlie was.
No, Charlie was
Charlie
good.
Charlie was good, actually.
Charlie's got a one ERA. Yeah. No, that's, yeah, they've had. Unbelievable. No, this is.
Now, do you really buy
this? Is five straight good starts.
Let me ask you, and this is probably just me.
Lance McCullers 8-run outing.
Yeah. This is just probably me because of. I don't know. Maybe it's because he doesn't wear batting gloves. I just always assume that Evan Gattis is ultimately a 230 hitter. Maybe it's because he's a janitor at one point. I don't know what it is. But I just never assume like he's going to be a full-time good hitter. I just don't assume. Like, I always assume that this is about what he is. Somewhere between 212 and 247 is who he's going to be. Yeah. I feel the same way with McCann. Like, I feel the same way with Mariznick. I've always felt like, man, Crush City, I guess. These guys just hit home runs and everything. But now it feels like it's all coming home to roost with who they actually are going to be as hitters.
Well, I don't get why. I don't understand.
By the way, Mariznick never a full-time starter. Anyway.
No, he wasn't. But I don't understand why he's getting so many at-bats. Why don't you just play Marwin in left like you did for the playoffs?
I don't get it. And you got a left-handed bat. I don't understand why you just throw another righty out there who is striking out a zillion times.
Yeah, well, it's not like Marwin's lighting it on fire either, though.
No, but Mariznick, I mean, unless you're just doing it for the ladies, unless you just want the women to see the flowing locks and the 6'4", 225-pound frame.
Somebody called him Chandler Parsons, and I think that's a pretty... Although Chandler was a starter here, and he got $1 billion, he fooled everybody.
Chandler was... Well, he had a bad knee injury, but he ended up having microfracture surgery. His career is done as we know it. He was pretty good here.
He was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jake Mariznick is a pretty good outfielder. But
well, yeah, he's good on defense.
0 for 13 with 10 strikeouts in his last 13 at-bats is... really not good. I think it's bad. I think it's, and again, I mean, this is, and maybe, I don't know what they're waiting for, though, but why not give everybody a boost and bring Tucker? I don't get it. What's your sports map article this week?
I will tell you on the other side. It's actually something I want to get into regarding the Houston Texans. Maxim Magazine just did this article one day ago. 11 reasons Chandler Parsons is the NBA's biggest stud. And in this article, it says the Memphis Grizzlies missed the playoffs this year by a lot. That may have been a bummer for fans, but it's hard to imagine that Chandler Parsons cared. After playing sparingly in an injury-riddled year, this is just copy and paste from every year. Look, it's locked down on TV. Parsons would have sat on the bench all postseason. Instead, he was at Coachella over the weekend. That's a shock. You know what? It's
oh, no, Chandler.
It's Chandler.
Was he wearing
football.
Capris?
Of course. Well, let me see. I got a picture. Oh, my God. Chandler does well.
Well, listen, when Chandler was on here, I said, Chandler, do you ever Google yourself? The first thing that comes up is your girl, Chandler Parsons' girlfriend. And he goes, well, you doubt my game, dude? That's what he said. You doubt my game, dude?
This one is named Cassie Amato, and though she's not quite as famous as some of those
who preceded
her. Well,
he was going on with Bella Hadid, wasn't he?
Yeah, and also...
Let me see her.
What's her name from the ring girl, the most... Ariane...
Oh, no, he was not. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
he was going on with Ariana Celeste?
Yeah, this is what he goes to Coachella in. A girl with a fishnet bodysuit.
Wow. It's good to be Chandler.
I mean, yeah, millions. You don't ever have to play. Just, I mean, dude. Chandler Parsons has it all.
It's great to be Chandler
except
Parsons.
Except a really terrible knee. Oh, right. This picture here.
No, this I don't want to see it.
Yes, you do.
Oh, my God. I hate to see that. All right.
No, you don't.
It's time to talk about indoor comfort.
I really
let's talk
don't
about.
Like,
I want to
I
talk about
like
your article on the other
like
side. It's a pretty good topic. Let's do that on the other side. Right now, though, let's talk about the indoor comfort specialists. 975AC.com. 975AC.com. That's where you go and get this done. It's already 80 degrees out there. You think it's going to get any colder? No. It's going to be 1,000 degrees. Your air conditioner is going to be working 24 hours a day. You have no idea how that's going to handle all summer long. So you get the 22-point check, and it's only $49. You can't get somebody out to your house on a service call for $50 anywhere, anytime. They will do this, and they will do it all. 22-point check to tell you exactly what's going on with your air conditioner now for $49.
Yeah, and it's a company who, quite frankly, one of their biggest selling points to me is that they don't screw you over. When it comes to auto mechanics, air conditioning, there's like three or four industries where you think, I don't know what's going on. I just hope they're doing a good job, and I hope I have somebody who's trustworthy. They really are. They've got a long history, two decades of if you've got a piece that needs to be repaired, they'll repair it. Sometimes it's even less than that. They don't look to get you a new air conditioning system every time around. And if you do need an air conditioning system, they have financing, they have discounted rates, and they get the installation done very, very quickly. Because when you run out of AC in the summer, that is a nightmare. So just call our friends at the Indoor Comfort Specialists. Even if you don't need them now, remember this number, write it down, put it in your phone. 713-666-1101 or go to the website 975AC.com.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Yo, I go by the name of Dane Jones. I'm with my crew. And we gonna show y'all what we be snacking on. You dig?
Good luck.
Hot Cheetos and Takis.
Now, once it's in there, it's not going away. I can't get enough of these Hot Cheetos. That's Ryan Leaf on ESPN today. Have you ever had him in studio?
Ryan Leaf?
He's made some rounds.
No, we did. We had him at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, I think it was the same time. Yeah. I had Ryan Leaf in studio one year for an hour.
Oh, you know, we did. We did have
him. I think
you
probably did. He was probably making the rounds. That's why I asked. It was really enthralling because, A, he's incredibly self-aware now. Which is the exact opposite of where he used to be. He's incredibly self-aware. He's incredibly honest about where he was. Uh-huh. And then his story is, I mean, this is literally a druggie who he was an addict who did some things that he's not proud of. I mean, he did some addict things.
Mm-hmm.
He did some, like, breaking into your house and stealing your stereotype stuff.
Stealing from his mom and dad.
Yeah, it was really bad. And this is when he was a coach as well. He was still hooked. So Ryan Leaf says Baker Mayfield has, what does he say?
Well, he has raised a lot of red flags.
Yeah, and he said when he closes his eyes and hears Baker Mayfield talk and the things he says, he can hear some of himself.
That's not something
you want to hear.
That's not something Baker wants to hear.
Let me tell you what Baker doesn't want to hear. Ryan Leaf say, hey, that sounds like me. And other people go, boy, he's reminding me of Johnny a lot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like probably the two biggest nightmares you could have because that really gets to a personality thing.
Yep.
That gets to a personality flaw that doesn't feel like it's easily correctable based on Ryan Leaf's past and Johnny's past. But here's the thing, though. Is it fair? I mean, there was nothing like that with Ryan Leaf, so I guess there's no way for us to think Ryan Leaf would have ended up going into dumps like that. So we didn't know that, and teams don't know that until you get there, because going from college where you're a little coddled, you're the big man on campus, to the pressure of, like, if Baker goes to the New York Jets, how does Baker, if he doesn't get started great, and we talked about this on Mock Draft Live yesterday, Daniel Jeremiah's draft has Baker Mayfield going to the Jets. How does he handle the New York media? How does he handle the fact that he didn't have great receivers? Quincy Enunwa, Robbie Anderson, Jermaine Kearse. I mean, it's not like there's wide receiver ones in there. How does Baker handle not having a great wide receiver to throw to, a subpar offensive line, and a really brutal media?
Has Baker...
they're going to follow him around New York all the time.
I get that, but has Baker had issues with the media? Has he had...
No, I don't think he has. My question is, do you think how will his personality do under adversity in a market where he is going to be hyper-criticized?
I don't think that's going to be a problem. This is a dude that was a starter at Tech. You know, I guess he felt like, boy, I'm not going to be the starter here anymore. I'm out. I will go and redshirt and walk on at Oklahoma, a tough, tough place to go and play. And I know I've got confidence in myself. And then he never showed that he wilted under any pressure during games. I mean, so I don't know. I don't think that about him. I think that he's too cocky. He's too...
Well, that's my thing. Take him out of the Big 12 with all these dominating defenses in this conference. And because it's hard to move the ball in the Big 12.
Right.
And now let's move him to New York with Robbie Anderson as his one, coming off of whatever felony he's going to have. Jermaine Kearse, Quincy Anunua, Jordan Leggett. Let's look at an offensive line that is not very good right now. Matt Forte is your running back, and he's just about done, so they may have to look for a new running back. That's not a favorable situation. In New York, where he's going to go live the New York, he's going from Norman to New York. My guess is the guy who's doing a documentary about himself with he and his girlfriend, and I think he's going to live the life in New York. I think he's going to want to, and the media is going to have him on Page Six all the time.
You think it'll be a culture shock from Lubbock to Norman to New York? You think it'll be a little?
I think
smack
he's been stepping
face?
His. I think he's been moving. I think he could use a stint in, like,
I don't know,
maybe just
Nashville,
like, maybe Orlando.
Yeah, like Nashville first, then to New York. Like, no. You can't just go straight Norman to New York.
You That's brought hard. Up Big 12 defenses, and Mark Richt said something yesterday talking about his quarterbacks that made me think of Baker. He's talking about how my quarterback's much more accurate when he has a big pocket. I was looking at Baker last night against Georgia, even against an SEC defense, how big those pockets were for him. Is there any concern that Baker hasn't thrown in a lot of congested pockets?
I know, because when I watched him,
that's a concern for a shorter guy anyway.
Yeah, that's the concern. But you know what he did? Here's why I had to change my opinion on Baker, because I saw him as a junior. He broke the pocket a lot to throw it. It's almost like he couldn't wait to improv and get off script a little bit, which is what Johnny used to do a lot. But then this year, he sat in the pocket more and delivered more from the pocket. It was noticeable. And so I thought, okay, well, you know, he's made an improvement. He did have a lot of time to throw. I mean, he had a massive offensive line. But when Orlando Brown would break down and everyone would go to, he gave up no sack. Orlando Brown gave up plenty of pressure, different pressure. Baker's just so good at sliding away from it. And I don't think that changes in the NFL, but he's not a fat, like, he's got to be a pocket slider. He can't be a run out of the pocket guy because he's not fast.
Yeah, I was just watching that first half against Georgia, one of those condensed things where you just get the plays and the other
nonsense. Didn't see a lot of pressure.
I didn't see a lot of pressure, and not even just a lot of pressure. I just saw this wide pocket. Like, Oklahoma did things to kind of move him around a little bit, but even still, there was like no one within striking distance. Like, he had all the time, and then when he was forced to move his feet a little bit, he got a little inaccurate, like a lot of quarterbacks do. So I'm just wondering, have NFL teams taken into account the fact that he rarely, at least in that game, he rarely threw with anything in his face?
So you know what teams will look at? They'll look at where your set points are. Like, if you are a guy like Baker, when he gets a snap, he might take a step back, but he stays in a pretty restricted, like, edge rushers have a hard time getting to him because he doesn't take what accounts to a 7-step drop. He doesn't set way back. So his set point's pretty shallow. So it's hard for edge rushers to get to him because it's such a tight track and you can't get around Orlando Brown that fast. Like, even if you go run around him, you're running up the rush chart and up the rush arc, and Baker has good feel for rush. Like, Baker's football stuff is good. People can try to – have you heard anyone really bag Baker on his arm or accuracy or
football IQ? No, just the worry is the height, right?
Height?
I mean, he everything else and the attitude.
That's a one big concern.
I'm not worried about the media.
I'm
worried more about the off-the-field stuff.
But the media is going to report on that and make stories about it. And at some point, Baker goes, you guys are sitting here commenting on who I'm going to dinner with all the time. And the fact that I'm out there, I mean, yeah. I just don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Well,
it's Josh Rosen.
I think that's going to be the case with Baker's a star. Baker's going to find, going to have that every
Here's
anywhere.
Josh
he
Allen
goes.
Be like, well, what do y'all want from me? I'm just out.
Right. No.
I just tried to go get a steak last night. Like, are you ever going to get out and have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
I got a wife already. I've been married since I was 17. Like, are you ever going to do anything cool? No.
No.
I mean,
no.
I just, it is cool to eat steak. Like, you never have to worry about Josh Allen.
No. No.
I just stay inside and watch TV and eat steak.
I don't think you have to worry
drink
about
milk.
I don't think you have to worry about winning with Josh Allen either.
Josh Allen's only 21, huh? I didn't know.
Two things you don't have to worry about. Partying and winning. Is that what you're...
No. If you've got a wide receiver...
And completions?
No.
If you've got a wide receiver who's really worried about being hit in stride by their quarterback, hey. Don't you worry. We've got Josh Allen
Yeah,
for
don't
you.
Worry. Don't worry about that whole completion thing. That's not going to happen.
There's two quarterbacks,
here.
Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, where you're like, you may have to reach behind you every once in a while on these. You may have to. Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold get pegged to some kind of amazingly accurate quarterbacks. They had their issues last year, too. They weren't as accurate last year at all. Like, it's not as clean as people think with Josh Rosen basically has no flaws except he's an a-hole. Like, no, Josh Rosen was hardly perfect on tape.
Yep. All right, 729 ESPN 97.5. Who was it asked on Twitter? Is Shohei Ohtani using Renter's Warehouse to rent space in my head? No. Shohei Ohtani is
Are
not.
Are you sure? Because yeah. he seems to have a permanent residence. Not permanent. He's only renting.
He's renting, okay? But listen, here's the deal. Is Shohei Ohtani lives in California, so he doesn't use Renter's Warehouse. That's stupid. If he was living here, then he could use Renter's Warehouse.
Well, he'll be here this weekend. Is he just going to rent a house for a couple days?
Maybe.
In your head?
No.
Rent a place in your head for
Rich
a couple
Drake
days?
No, Rich Drake won't let him rent a house for 2 days. Or 3 days.
What is this, South by Southwest?
Yeah, that's called a motel.
Rick Drake.
Okay.
Rich Drake doesn't have an Airbnb in your head for Shohei.
No. No, he doesn't have an Airbnb. No. You
no,
know where he should
like,
go?
By the way,
he
we
should
don't
go.
Like...
Ohtani should go to the Ozarks and get a motel room there. That's
Whoa.
What he should do.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay.
What's wrong with that? Well, here's what I don't like about the motels there. The cleaning crews are suspect.
Yeah.
They will take all of your stuff.
That's true.
The cleaning crew's extremely suspect in the Ozarks.
I hope they wash the spreads, too. But here's the deal is if you're looking for a place to rent...
Congrats on this commercial, Rich.
Then you call Rich Drake at Renter's Warehouse. Renter's Warehouse is going to rent out your home on an average of 17 days. And that's going to be the key, too. If you've got to sell your home... If you've got to move to another city... God, I hope you don't. Let's say you have to move to Dallas and your life is ruined anyway. Do you want it doubly ruined by not being able to sell your house? No. You rent your house out, and Rich Drake and the people at Renter's Warehouse take care of everything.
Yeah, and it's so quick, too. I mean, it's so easy. It's one thing I love is not having to do anything. I like experts to do expert stuff, and that's what they do for you. They help you set price. They market it. They find your renters. They warranty for up to 1 year. They collect rent. They handle any issues that arise with your house. Like, you do nothing except watch money stream into your account every single month. Renterswarehouse.com, renterswarehouse.com, or call them today, 713-224-RENT.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah! All right, all ready. The show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun?
ESPN. 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. We told you we're going to talk about Lance's sports map article last segment, which we didn't do. because we're notorious. I guess we're 1,000%. We never, ever, ever pay off on the tees, right? So we should just tease whatever, and it really doesn't matter what we tease, does it? I know that it's important, right, to keep people. Yeah, we never do that, really. So here's the deal: is your sports map article was what if, right? Mm-hmm. What if the Texans did not draft Deshaun, did not trade away this pick last year?
Yeah, what if they didn't trade for Deshaun Watson? What if they didn't trade for Deshaun Watson? Now, I stopped in the first round. I didn't want to go the second round because, frankly, they could have gone DeShone Kizer. They made
the second round they'd already given away for. Oh, you mean no, if they kept Rock?
No, last year if Rick Smith never traded up, I go all the way back to what if Rick Smith didn't trade up? Who do they pick at 25?
No, I know, but the second round pick was for Brock. That's what they gave up for Brock.
Not last year's.
This one.
Yeah, I'm talking about last year. What would they have done?
Oh,
in
I
the
see.
Draft. Yeah. They probably would have looked quarterback.
Oh. What would they have done last year?
They might have looked DeShone Kizer. Mm. They might have traded up to get DeShone Kizer. They might have looked at Nathan Peterman. They might have looked at whoever. The premise is, I think they would have stayed still and got Ryan. If they stayed still, they would have drafted Ryan Ramczyk, the first. He's the tackle that went to. He was the 32nd pick of the draft. He was the second tackle off the board. He went to the Saints. And started all 16 games. He would have been a full-time starter for the Texans this year, and they would have had their right tackle spot probably solved with a chance at maybe it turning into left tackle. And maybe in the second round they would have drafted tackle. Quarterback. What I had to assume, though, I had to assume that the Texans would finish fourth still, because my thought was, okay, I don't want to give them losses, but I'm definitely not going to give them wins.
Mm-hmm.
Not any more than I have. So my thought was, okay, you have Tom Brady and one other quarterback who would have been competing for a spot. Savage. If they would have sucked their way to about the same amount of wins, which is, you know, there's a chance that it would have been that number, maybe lower. I'm not sure it would have been higher. Because the defensive stuff would have still been the defensive issues. The offensive line issues, even with one tackle, probably would have still been a problem. So I said, let's just work off the theory that you would have pick number four. So what would sports talk, what would Twitter, what would everything look like today?
So we
dealt with Vince versus Reggie.
They would have gone Savage and Whedon all last year.
Well, I think they would have drafted a quarterback. Like, they might have had DeShone Kizer. And here's something else.
Well, it's obviously not the answer there, so it wouldn't have been the answer here. So you'd still need a quarterback.
Yeah.
It wasn't the answer for the Browns. They're already on to another quarterback, even after drafting Kizer last year. So the Texans would be in the same situation. You'd still need a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
right?
Or my very last feature was free agency run. And the Texans might have been in on Kirk Cousins. Because that's a very real possibility, too, that the Texans would have been like the Vikings, like Denver. They would have been that team. Like, it's unlikely they would have just been completely bare naked headed into this draft with no attempt at a free agency.
After finishing last in defense, though, and the Vikings in the NFC Championship, I don't think they would have won that contest.
You say last in defense, but we all know this. When J.J. and Whitney Merce listen,
right.
I don't think people look at the Texans as a bad defense necessarily.
They should.
In a vacuum.
Well, they really should. They were a bad defense.
With Matthew. Last year they were, but there was extenuating circumstances.
Right, but they're older. I get it.
Yeah.
But even still, Kirk Cousins probably picks the team that he's got a better chance to win with, and that's Minnesota.
Maybe so. I don't know what Hopkins, but I don't think they'd be back on Case Keenum. I doubt that. I think there's a good chance they would have been looking to trade this pick for Nick Foles. Maybe this pick to the Eagles for Nick Foles, and then we get a third rounder back from the Eagles, something like that. But I do think that – I don't think they just go – but for the purpose of this exercise, I had to assume there was no quarterbacks, just for the purpose of this exercise. Because I do think they would have done something to keep themselves from being like all or nothing in this draft. Let's assume it was all or nothing in this draft. What do you think – what are the storylines? And this is going to be my article that's on sports.
If they were fourth,
yeah.
If they were fourth, well, you know that the Jets have moved up and they're taking a quarterback. You'd have to assume that the Giants are going to trade out and there's going to be a quarterback there. You have to assume, I think, if you're in that four hole and you need a quarterback, that you're going to get the fourth guy. There's a very real possibility that those first three picks are going to be quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So you almost are in a situation where you could almost trade back out of there and still get Lamar Jackson. You could.
Why would you want to trade out? That's the other thing.
Would you take Lamar Jackson fourth overall?
Oh, these are the arguments we're having.
Yeah.
You and I would say, I would say no. Here's what I would do, because I did draft stuff. I do draft stuff, and I would say, no, you can't take him fourth. That's not the value too many concerns about durability with how much he runs. There's accuracy issues. I like Lamar Jackson. I don't like him fourth. And you would have said, I love Lamar Jackson. What about moving up two spots with the Giants? You know, these are things we would have talked about. The Giants might trade. Should we trade up and move up to number two? I'm not going to give away the whole thing, but here are what I think the storylines would have been. The trade-up scenario. Do whatever you have to do to get Sam Darnold. Move from 4-1 to get Sam Darnold. You've jerked around with quarterback. You can't do it. You got to move this first-round pick and whatever it takes to get. Maybe we package JJ. And maybe, you know, could you trade Clowney right now? And who knows what all. But I think there would have been talk about trade-up to number one for Sam Darnold. From 4-1 is not a huge jump. There would have been talk about best available. And this is what I think. You know, this is an argument we would have been having. Should we even be drafting a quarterback? Why not draft Bradley Chubb? Because J.J. Watt has been injured now two straight years. Why not get Chubb and try to dominate on defense? Use the Jacksonville model of defense first and dominate there. How about Saquon Barkley? Wouldn't life be much easier for a quarterback if you had a great running back and a great running game? Remember with Arian Foster, he made Matt Schaub's job much easier because he was the guy scoring all the touchdowns, and you didn't have to have a great passing game. Life was much easier for Matt Schaub. These are all things we would be talking about if the Texans were in the fourth spot.
Yeah, I agree. I would think no.
And the Josh, to Josh or not to Josh?
Well, here's one of the issues, though, and probably one of the biggest flaws in your article is that if Cleveland had taken Deshaun, they would be drafting 30th, and the Texans would be up there second or third because Deshaun would have led them to maybe an undefeated season. So,
let's say Cleveland didn't draft him. Cleveland didn't like him. They wouldn't have drafted him. Let's say somebody else drafted him and Cleveland moved back again.
That's why Sashi's looking for work.
Yeah, they would have kept Cleveland. They didn't like him or Carson Wentz or Pat Mahomes.
Right. Or Goff. They didn't like any of them.
Goff, nobody. And Cleveland literally was like, fans in Cleveland will fight you about how amazing Sashi Brown is. He was good at collecting picks. There's no question about that. I don't know about isolating good quarterbacks and sitting down and taking one. I don't think he was great at that.
No.
I mean, unless you call Kaiser and Kessler good, that's fine. Neither guy's on the roster anymore, but that's fine.
And without that guy.
The killer case.
You know, just collect. That's all he did was hoard pick. You know what? But John Dorsey.
Pick hoarder.
Dorsey's the one who's benefiting from that.
Have you ever thought that maybe Sashi was just a huge fan of the USC-Notre Dame rivalry and wanted two quarterbacks he really loved to be on the same roster and just see how they would
Is that all it back? Is?
Yeah, Kessler versus Kaiser. He just wanted that to happen because he watched them play in college. You think that's the reason he chose two subpar quarterbacks?
No one can explain Sashi if you want to know the truth. I will say this, though. The Browns are going to benefit from it, just like the 76ers are benefiting from those Sam Hinkie years, aren't they?
Well, I don't think so. Well, yes. I don't think Sashi had the same plan in mind that Hinkie did.
No. Well, he did. Let's lose as much as possible.
Was that it's Sashi's goal?
It's the Astros, 76ers, Browns model.
Well, that's fine, but how many of Hinkie's picks work? We went through it, like Nerlens Noel didn't work. Okafor didn't work, and Bede and Simmons. We'll see about Fultz. At least those two have worked. Can you name two high picks that for Sashi that have worked?
Right now, they're coming up.
Yeah, but he doesn't get that opportunity.
No, but he doesn't. But that's what. And just like Hinkie's not benefiting from this. I was just thinking this morning. Does Hinkie get another job now after we see what happened with the Sixers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes,
but absolutely.
He identified. He picked Simmons. And was he there for Simmons to pick?
Yeah, he took Simmons.
Simmons and Embiid. Those are his two guys. He missed on Noel and Okafor.
Right.
So he's two out of four, and Fultz wasn't his.
Pretty good two out of four, though.
Yeah, so I'm trying to see, has Sashi hit big on two guys?
No. In fact, I'm bringing this up right now. Are y'all aware of how historically bad the Browns have been when they've had two first-round picks historically? It is unbelievably terrible. Watch what they've done. Here, I'll pull it up right now. The Cleveland Browns, they had two firsts in 2014. Those two firsts would be Justin Gilbert and also Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Did that work?
That was one of the worst drafts. That's historically bad, those two drafts.
Now, last year they had three. Myles Garrett, Jabril Peppers, David Joku. We'll see. I think two out of those three will become players.
Who's the one you don't think will be?
Jabril.
Yeah.
I think Jabril's kind of just a guy. Let's
see. I think he'll be a decent player.
2015.
As opposed to a Gilbert.
When did Sashi start for them?
I have to look it up.
Check, because here's what they did in 2015 with two first-round picks. They got Danny Shelton and Cam Irving. Cam Irving is now a backup in Kansas City. That was a 2015 draft. Massive failure. 2014, Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel.
Massive failure.
Matt, both out of the league. Yep. Justin Gilbert, neither one of them liked football. Not enough. 2012, Trent Richardson and Brandon Whedon were your two first-round picks.
He started in 2013.
Yeah, that wasn't him.
January 2013 and was fired 2017.
2007, Joe Thomas, good. Brady Quinn, terrible.
Well, that's just a long history of the Browns sucking, not Sashi sucking at this point.
Yeah,
no, the Browns have just been.
Sam Hinkie was fired right before they drafted Ben Simmons. He probably would have taken him anyway because he was clearly the number one overall pick, but he was fired like a month before the season.
Yeah, but it was his process of being terrible. It was that process of let's be as terrible as we possibly can, which will make Jeff Van Gundy at some point kill another human.
But as far as picks are concerned, Sark and Bede were his, and Sark is obviously a good player as well.
All right. Well, you know what's wonderful today? Omaha tournament.
Ooh, is today the Omaha day?
Yep.
I'm not an Omaha guy. Wednesday. You are. You're good on Omaha day. I'm more the No Limit Hold'em. I've been to the two final tables there at No Limit Hold'em. You get paid when you get to a final table, basically. They make a deal usually, and they include the 8, 9, and 10 places because I'm never the chip leader. But it is fun. I mean, hey, you guys have a great shot at getting at the final table as well. Go play one of their noon tournaments at Prime Social. You got No Limit Hold'em usually, but Wednesday is the Pot Limit Hold'em tournament. And Omaha tournament. And if you're a good Omaha player, there's your big chance to get there in that tournament. Every single day, you got buy-ins, you've got rebuys, you've got add-ons. On Sundays is their freeze-out tournament. So You buy in once, and if you get eliminated, you get eliminated. And so those guys who try to, you know, take these wild chances because they're going to rebuy, if you're a smart player and you grind a little bit, hey, you could be there late in the tournament looking to cash in. These are the tournaments I'm talking about. If you want to play cash games, they have cash games as well. No Limit Hold'em, Pot Limit Omaha, Fixed Limits, instead of 1 and 3, sometimes they'll do 5 and 10. No Limit Hold'em. There is a high rollers room. You've got a great wait staff, terrific management, and really everything is state of the art. Oversized chairs that are super comfortable, beautiful brand new tables, televisions surround the place with all the sporting events on. You don't miss any of the action when you're right in the middle of the action. Go to Prime Social and enjoy some awesome poker today. At PrimeSocialTX.com, they're at 7801 Westheimer, just west of the Galleria. Stop in and enjoy yourself and go compete again. Go play some poker. Go win some money at PrimeSocialTX.com.
Wait a minute, all good just a week ago. Crew at my house and we party every weekend. So on the radio, that's my favorite song. Make me bounce.
The most delicious app in the business and the easiest steak you can download.
Wait, I think I messed that up.
The most delicious steak in the business and the easiest sports radio app you can download.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.752 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Tyler wants to get in. Shortest wait times ever in the history of radio. Tyler, what's up?
Yeah, that was pretty short, guys. I think you guys took the crown for shortest wait time in radio.
Thank you.
Lies.
Nah, man, I just wanted to call in and touch on the NFL draft. As soon as the Broncos released their running back, C.J. Anderson, I was thinking if it's, you know, a little too far-fetched, but why not trade up a couple spots and go after Saquon Barkley? You know, I feel like Saquon Barkley in Denver would be probably his most successful, you know, landing spot. You know, but I just wanted to see what you guys had to think about that, you know, and see if Saquon is actually
trade up. Who trade up?
Denver.
Denver.
Okay.
Denver.
Why do you mean Denver trade up? Denver's at five. He might actually get to five.
You think Saquon will fall to number five?
I think Saquon falls to number four for sure. And then it becomes an idea of
Chubb versus Saquon.
Do you want
Saquon.
Chubb versus Saquon Barkley? Although a lot of people in the business say that John Dorsey has been in love with Saquon Barkley since his freshman year at Penn State.
Do you trade up from five for Saquon?
No, here's what I do. I say, okay, if Saquon's there, great, we'll take him. If Bradley Chubb is there, great, we'll take him to rush opposite of because they actually need another pass rusher, Von Miller. If Quentin Nelson's there, great, we could take him, and we'll just go dominate you because we need a guard. I mean, if you're Denver, oh, great, we'll take Denzel Ward. We don't have Aqib Talib. We'll add another cornerback. Oh, great, we'll take Josh Rosen or Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield. I mean, to me,
is Denver's Saquon as good as everybody says? I mean, do you think he's one of those? Do you think he's better than, you know, Adrian Peterson was when he was coming to the draft?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I mean, Peterson's pretty special. So in hindsight, I mean, I can't say better than. I can say he'll carry a higher draft grade potentially. He'll carry about the same draft grade. Adrian Peterson went seventh, and that's because
is he the most comparable player to Adrian Peterson?
No, he compares more probably to he's actually a bigger version. I actually heard that the comparison to Shady McCoy is actually not a bad one because he's real elusive. Like, he's not a banger and power player. You think he is, but he's actually not. He is hard. He is very elusive. I see him do stuff that Barry Sanders does on tape, and I'm like, I can't believe this is happening with a guy who's 227 pounds. Like, it doesn't make any sense that he shouldn't rip his ACL out of his knee with some of these moves he makes. So he's actually a very elusive guy. Adrian Peterson was more like, I'm going to physically pummel you, and then I'm so fast that I'm going to run away from you. That was really Adrian Peterson. But if you're sitting at number five and you have all those options, I can tell you right now, if they love a quarterback, one of them's going to be there. And the Buffalo Bills will want to trade up. The Arizona Cardinals will want to trade up. The guy you want to fall is Josh Allen, because teams are going to give you stupid picks for Josh Allen. So right now, supposedly the Giants, Buffalo is in a holding pattern because they don't know what Cleveland's going to do, and they're not doing a pre-trade until they know exactly who's on the board at two. So if it is Sam Darnold or Josh Allen, one of those two on the board at two, I think that there's a good chance the Giants will trade back to Buffalo. But I think Buffalo has their eye on one of those quarterbacks, and they want to know who it's going to be. But no one's trading up there until they know for sure what John Dorsey's going to do, and no one knows yet.
Yeah, I think they're in a perfect spot. They could use that quarterback.
Yeah,
but
it might be the third quarterback off the board. I mean, I'm sorry, it might be the fourth quarterback.
Might be the fourth quarterback.
Would you want to draft fourth quarterback off the board, or just roll with Case for a year and see what happens next year? Tell you what I would do if somebody wants to trade up there. I'll take an extra first-round pick next year, and then I'll be positioned for a quarterback next year.
Yeah.
And I'll just draft some players this year. That's fine. Or I'll just sit there and take Barkley, Chubb, Nelson, one of the players who's actually better than every quarterback in this draft. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that Barkley, Chubb, and Nelson are all better than any quarterback in this draft. You could do that, too. Let's go take a great blue-chip player.
That's not surprising, but they've got to have – If I'm them, you know.
What would you do if you were the Texans and you were four? That's going to be my sports map article. You'll be able to read it here soon. But,
it's not published yet?
I don't think so. Let me look at that.
It's 8 o'clock. It should be. You should have sent it in a while ago, but okay.
Have you sent it in yet?
Yeah, I sent it in.
Oh, that doesn't sound very convincing.
Right now, there's a Game 2 preview of Rockets T-Wolves.
My sports map article is up because I sent it in last night, because that's kind of how it works.
We're supposed to stagger.
No, that's not how they get to choose.
I think
how
we stagger.
No, that's
actually
not how it works.
No, he was typing furiously during the breaks, so
he
I have
made
a
it
feeling.
Seem like it was already in.
Yeah,
it's not. No, in
no,
yet.
No, no, yeah, right. Yeah.
It was conceptualized.
Are you workshopping your article on the show? Is that what you're doing? Trying to figure out How?
Let me finish editing this. Well, no,
I'm going to give Raheel, who's listening, a little. Raheel doesn't like Wednesdays because I'm usually typing my sports map article on Wednesday during the show. So I miss some of our show.
Yeah.
When Raheel hates that.
You can't even contain yourself in the breaks. You have to do it on the show.
Right, during the show.
And you can really hear it on the air too when we type it.
You know who hates that? Craig DeSerf.
He does. He told me, he's like, "What are you guys doing with the typing?" And I said, "Craig, mind your business and keep selling thousands of cars every single month over there at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They're in Angleton. Craig DeSerf calls it Camelot in the cornfield." Well, you know they don't have corn in Angleton. That's crazy talk, Craig. There is some open space. There's still room to populate and build high rises out there if you want. There's lots of land, so that is still a potential option for you down the road in a few decades. But one of the things that I love about going to Angleton is, I'm going to say the primary reason, is to go see Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. It may take, for me, it takes 42 minutes. I put the address in on my phone, it takes 42 minutes. And you say, man, 42 minutes, is, I guess, I mean, it's like going to Kingwood. It's not as far as the Woodlands, it depends for you. Would you go there for, if I told you that you could get $3,100 discount on a GMC Sierra pickup truck, or maybe save $2,600 for, and I'm just giving you arbitrary numbers. Look, $2,600 on like a 2018 Yukon, or maybe a GMC Acadia crossover vehicle. I am telling you right now, they are saving thousands. They have deep dealer discounts on many of the vehicles in stock. They have some 2017s that are left that they're basically giving away out there, and they're going to give you aggressive trade-in value. That's something that they can control. They can control price. They can control trade-in value, and they have a great selection. If you want to see their selection and what I'm talking about in pickups, SUVs, crossovers, and cars, all you have to do is go to LanceZCars.com. That's LanceZCars.com, or head out to Angleton and get that money with Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Jose Altuve, MVP, World Series champion, and a big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Chevy, find new roads.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.